Welcome to Astros Baseball, a podcast by a fan for the fans of the Houston Astros. Here's your host, Rob Fontenot.
Astros Baseball is brought to you by Ram Shirts. Ram Shirts offers custom printed and embroidered apparel. They offer direct-to-garment printing for small runs and screen printing for larger runs. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Ram Shirts. Go to ramshirts.com for all your custom apparel needs.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Astros Baseball. Joining me today is the voice of the Sugarland Skeeters, Mr. Gerald Sanchez. Gerald, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
So the last time we were talking, I really wasn't sure what you were doing, but I know I enjoyed our conversation and having you on. But then all of a sudden, you're like the voice of the Sugarland Skeeters. How did that happen?
Well, I had worked the Constellation Energy League the year before. That was the league that Roger Clemens put together, putting together minor league teams because minor league baseball did not play a season last year in 2020 because of COVID. So this year, in 2020, they had the minor leagues, a lot of the ball players playing. They had four different teams, and they got to know the Skeeters folks very well, and was able to correlate that into turning the opportunity into becoming their voice for 2021, their inaugural season as a AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros.
How many games did you have to call this year?
There was 140 games. Excuse me, 130. Usually there's 144 in a season, but they lopped off the first month of the season, so they didn't get started until May the 6th.
Did the minor leagues not have playoffs?
They did through AA. AAA did not have a playoff system. They had the final stretch in which they played final 10 games, which that was added onto the schedule in July. Major League Baseball made that announcement. They added 10 games to all of the AAA teams. So there was 10 games, and they called that the final stretch. There were no playoffs this year. But if there were, the Skeeters would have been a part of the postseason for AAA as they won the AAA West-East division.
Right. Yeah, I had seen that they were doing very well. And you know, I was waiting for the playoffs to start, and it never did. And I knew that Porpoise didn't have a good enough record to get in there, and I'm not really familiar with the other teams, but yeah, I had no idea. But looking at the Sugarland Skeeters roster this season, who did you see or who are you noticing that you believe will make a huge impact with the Astros sometime in the future?
Well, they had a couple of pitchers, Hunter Brown, who is ranked third in the prospect list for the Skeeters. I think that he is going to be one that has an opportunity to show what he can come spring training. They're really high on Jeremy Pena, and rightfully so. He hit the ball very well, hit over 300, had double digits in home runs in a very short amount of time, including three home runs in one game. He's the shortstop. And he has excellent range. He is very smooth. He's got an outstanding arm as a shortstop. And he's also the son of former big leaguer Geronimo Pena. So Jeremy Pena is another guy to look for. They're also high on Pedro Leon, who was called up in July, but then he broke a finger on his hand sliding into a base at Oklahoma City. And they're high on him. Struggled when he came back to finish the season. So you've got some prospects right there. And then obviously Corey Lee, who is rated number one in the prospect list for the Astros minor league farm system. He's a catcher, and they brought him up too at the very end of the season in the AAA final stretch. So you got four prospects on that roster for the Skeeters that closed out 2021 that the Astros are very high on. And I think that you could take any one of those four, but if I'm really guessing, I'd say maybe Brown at this point. Brown, the pitcher, right-hander from Detroit, and then Jeremy Pena.
So you think Jeremy, I mean, this is what I heard. I know they're really high on Pedro Leon, who's a center fielder, as far as I know, and they're trying to convert him into a shortstop. But does having Jeremy Peña rising to the top kind of move him back to the outfield?
It might, I would think. And I think that it's whoever can showcase who's ready first. And that's where they do. Now, obviously, let's see what happens with Carlos Correa. That is a big situation that the Astros have. And if the Astros win the World Series, I would think that Correa would want to stay and work out a situation with the Astros. They might meet halfway, or Correa just might say, hey, I want my money, and go to the highest bidder. I would think that Correa would want to stay here because of the chemistry and the relationships and the bond that he has with the guys on the roster. And but with Peña or Leon, that may be an option if Correa does not come back in 2022.
All right, let's talk about the World Series. I know when the Sugarland Skeeter season was over, looks like you were enjoying a lot of postseason games with your dad.
Yes.
And the Astros are in the World Series for the third time in 5 years. They defeated the Dodgers, and then they lost in Game 7 to the Nationals, and now they're playing the Braves on Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Fox. Are you going to any World Series games?
I'm going to every single home game. I wouldn't miss it.
So looking at Dusty Baker, long, long storied, successful career. I think he went to the World Series once with the Giants, and he didn't win. But he's looking to get his first World Series win. How big would that be for Dusty's legacy?
Well, Dusty, as a manager, did go to the World Series in 2002. He also won a World Series as a player in 1981. That 81 Dodger ball club that he played on defeated the Astros in the division series. The Astros had a 2-0 lead, and then they went to the final three out in Los Angeles and lost all three. But as a manager, the 2002 World Series, where he was the manager of the Giants, and they got so close, that 7-game series that they lost against the Anaheim Angels, as they were called at the time. That was the first and only World Series for Anaheim. It was Mike Socha was the manager. But if you remember Game 6, Russ Ortiz, a right-hander who eventually played with the Astros several years later, had that lead. They had the big lead, and they coughed it up. And the Angels rallied in the 8th inning and forced a Game 7. And then he lost, and Barry Bonds was unable to get that championship ring. He got so close, and that was a really good San Francisco ball club. If you remember, Kent and Barry Bonds were a part of that.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the comparison here, the Giants had their little mini dynasty going. They were, I can't remember the years, but they were winning. They won the World Series three times, but it was like every other year.
It was the even years of 2010, 2012, and 2014.
There you go. So now the Astros, 2017, 19, 21. They could repeat it.
Yeah.
So they're facing the Braves in the World Series. Braves haven't really been to the World Series in a long time. Were you surprised that the Braves beat the Dodgers?
A little bit, because the way that the series started and that the way that the Dodgers had won that wild card game and then they won the division series against San Francisco, it felt like, okay, they're going to find a way to do it again. They have the experience. They're the defending world champions, albeit in a 60-game season the previous year. They're going to find a way. And the Braves have been close on a couple of occasions. Last year, they had a 3-1 lead against the Dodgers and couldn't finish it. But as the series progressed, it seemed that, especially winning those two games at home the way that the Braves did in walk-off fashion, I think that really gave the Braves the confidence heading into those middle three games in Los Angeles. And they won. They took care of business. They got one, and to where they could close it out at Truist Field in Atlanta last night.
So the Astros and the Braves have met five times in the playoffs. Atlanta beat Houston in the NLDS in 97, 99, and 01. And I believe 99 was a 5-game series, and I think I went to the third game.
It was a 4-game series, the final game in the Astrodome.
Yes.
Game four, Ken Caminiti flied out to center field. Andrew Jones made the catch, and the Astrodome was closed down. John Rocker got the save, and the Astros almost rallied and came back in that game. They lost 7-5. Shane Reynolds got the start. It was a Saturday afternoon, and they came oh so close to beating the Braves. They won the first game in 99 in Atlanta. They beat Greg Maddux. Caminiti hit a home run. Darrell Ward hit a home run. And then the game three, with the bases loaded and nobody out, Tony Eusebio hits that ball. Walt Weiss makes a tremendous play at shortstop, getting the force out at home. The Astros had the bases loaded on several different occasions in that ball game, and they just couldn't push across that run late in the game. And then Brian Jordan, the two-run double in game three in right field, and it was the game four, and then they just couldn't recover.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if the game I went to was 97 or 99. But
the game three in 99 was a 12-inning game. It was a Friday afternoon.
It might have been 97 then.
The Friday, it was, okay, so 97, the home game there was a Friday afternoon. Chucky Carr got the only run for the Astros, a home run against John Smoltz, and the Astros got swept in that series. The Astros were not even in the Braves league at that time, but yeah. If you remember 98, they played really good, and then Jerry Hunsinger got the trade of Randy Johnson at the deadline in 98, and the Astros had their highest win total to that point, 102 wins in 98, and it felt like they were going to go to the World Series and play the Yankees. And then they got upset by the San Diego Padres. Kevin Brown pitched outstanding in that series, and Sterling Hitchcock in those shadows in the afternoon in San Diego in game four. Oh, that was tough. That was really, that 98 season was really tough to stomach, knowing that they came so close and they were a really good ball club.
Yeah, so that must have been 97. I don't have the memory of when I used to go to the games as I do the current games, because I wasn't as involved in it. But I do remember them getting swept, and I remember I got a bag, some kind of like a duffel bag or something was the giveaway. But Houston did pay them back. They beat them in the NLDS 2004, 2005, which the Astros ended up going to the World Series, their first World Series, and getting swept by the Chicago White Sox. Did you happen to get to go to any of those games?
Went to all of them. Game, and so the 05, they had a 2-1 lead on that Sunday afternoon, and they ended up making that tremendous comeback. Berkman hits the grand slam in the eighth inning. Brad Ausmus, with two outs in the ninth, hits the home run that barely goes over the yellow line in left center field. And then the Chris Burke home run in the 18th inning. That was amazing. Roger Clemens pitched three innings in relief. That's a story in itself. That may be a story that we share at another time, where Phil Garner and Roger Clemens have that dialogue, and his younger son becomes his bullpen catcher. And that 18-inning game was a classic. One of my favorite Astro memories, one of my favorite Astro games. The ebbs and flows and the roller coasters of emotion in that Sunday afternoon game in game four in 05 against Atlanta was just, I cannot believe that the Astros won. Because remember, the Astros at that point had always found a way to break our hearts and lose these tremendous close games. Mm-hmm. And Rob, as that game was going on, and we got to the 14th inning, and I thought, 16 inning game 6, 86. That's the first thing that came to my mind, because that was a memory I'll always remember the rest of my life, when Hatcher hit the home run against the foul pole and they lost to the Mets, and the Mets went to the World Series. So they're in the 14th inning. Then they get to the 16th inning, and I tell my girlfriend, I said that, you know what, they've tied the all-time record for longest postseason game in MLB history. And then shortly after that, it showed on the big Jumbotron, which is not El Grande, which they have now, but it says 16 innings ties the longest MLB game in postseason history. Then we went to the 17th, and then we went to the 18th, and then that's when Burke hit the home run into the Crawford boxes.
Well, you definitely know your Astros history. Speaking of that, I forgot to bring that up, but not the last guest, but the one before that. It was supposed to be scheduled right after you, but I had Mike Acosta on, and it was right after y'all had did the Skeeters game together.
Yeah. Mike's a very good friend of mine.
He said you guys went to a restaurant or something and you just ended up talking baseball for 4 hours.
Yeah. That's normally the case when we get together.
You guys could have a Astros. Who would win? You or him? Astros Jeopardy history.
Oh, easily Mike. I could beat him in the Rockets and he can beat me in the Astros if we were going in a contest.
Oh, there you go. All right, so the Astros have home field advantage 2019. Didn't matter at all. And me personally, I called in sick to work on game 6. You know, I thought there's no way they're going to lose at home, and they lost. And so the next day I called in again because I was like, there's no way they're going to lose 4 times, and they did. So you're looking at this year, Atlanta beat Milwaukee 3-1. They beat the Dodgers 4-2. They were 5-0 at home and 2-3 on the road. Houston beat the Chicago White Sox 3-1. They beat Boston 4-2. So they pretty much had the same road as far as games played, if I wrote this down right. And Houston's 4-1 at home, 3-2 away. Do you think there's any advantage having home field advantage?
Of all the major sports, football, hockey, basketball, and baseball, I think the sport that has the least effect on home field is probably baseball. I would think that baseball is probably the least. And if you have a really good starting pitcher like Kevin Brown in 98, striking out 17 Astros in game one in a division series, didn't matter how loud the Astrodome was that afternoon. Brown just couldn't be touched.
Yeah.
So I would think that the home field, it's nice to start the series at home, but it doesn't mean nothing if you don't go up 2-0. I mean, you're playing the games. So really, the object is obviously winning four of seven. And whoever the first team that does that, doesn't matter if it's home or away, that's what it's about. And yeah, baseball has the least effect of home field, and we've seen it before, where teams win the wild card and then they win the World Series.
Yeah. They both have pretty similar numbers, you know, on the road. It looks like both teams are playing better at home. So,
well, look at 2017. Beat the Dodgers in game 7, didn't have home field.
That's true. The time we had home field, we lost. The time we won. So who knows?
And we didn't have home field against the White Sox, and we got swept. But the thing I remind fans about the sweep, because people forget through time, or they might not even know, but we were swept by the White Sox in 05. And the difference in that series, Rob, differential of 6 runs. How close is that? If you remember, all those games were very close and tight.
Oh, yeah.
And the Astros just couldn't come up with a big hit. Adam Everett and Morgan Ensberg left multiple runners in scoring position on base time after time after time. And the differential in that series was 6 runs. The Astros could have been easily the team that swept the White Sox, but the White Sox had, they just had this, it was a special season for them, and they won it.
Yeah, sometimes just a team of destiny. And I talked about that on here about the Red Sox. You know, after they took the 2-1 lead, I was thinking it might just be the Red Sox year. They might just be the team of destiny this year. And I really love the way the Astros took that series over from them. So looking at games 1 and 2, you know, the Astros are at home. You know, when I was doing the notes, you know, the Braves had announced Morton or Max Fried will start game 1 and 2. But I think today they said Morton. And for the Astros, it should be Framber Valdez. I was a little worried about Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia, their first outing in Boston, but they both looked really, really good. Who do you think has the advantage in the pitching department between the Braves and the Astros?
If Framber has the game, he has the stuff that he does at home. He's a very effective pitcher at home. And if he has that stuff that he had at Fenway in game number 5, the Astros have the advantage.
So going into games 3 and 4, I'm assuming game 3 will be Urquidy. Who would you see at game 4?
I think it depends. They might have Greinke open the game again. They might have him go a couple of innings, see how long he can get stretched out. They might come back with Valdez. I don't know. Because the pitching is just not set. It's not solid. And, of course, depending on what the series is.
Right.
I don't really know who would be a starter for game four.
Yeah, it's kind of the way Boston, you know, Framber didn't go very long, so he didn't need as much rest. But very impressed by Luis Garcia's outing. He went, what, six innings? He was in the sixth inning before he even gave up a hit. So pretty confident about that. I don't know how good the Braves' bullpen is, but our bullpen has been very, very good.
Braves have a very good bullpen, and it showed in the series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. With the exception of the Dodgers' win in Game 3, they coughed up that lead, and it was a 5-2 lead in the eighth inning, and then that's when Cody Bellinger hit the game-tying home run into right center field, and then Mookie Betts got the double to put him ahead. But the Braves do have a very good bullpen, and it showed last night. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but they were able to, whenever they took out their starter, right-hander Ian Anderson, and then the Braves turned it over to the bullpen, they were really good. They used Will Smith, a left-hander, to close out their ball games, and he has pitched better in the month of September. In fact, the Braves as a ball club, remember, they were never above 500 until August, and then that's when they turned things around.
Yeah. I was watching the game. They had I'm not really familiar with a bunch of players from other teams, but I know they had the bases loaded. The Dodgers loaded the bases up, and they got out of it. Their bullpen got them out of it. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup. But I think what do you think about the lineup as far as the batting, the offense for the Astros?
As far as who has the advantage?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Astros. The Astros are a better hitting ball club. Braves may have, at this point, a better pitching staff, but the Astros definitely have the better hitting ball club up and down the lineup, with the exception of Martin Maldonado, but that's fine because you see what Maldonado brings to the table behind the plate. So you can skip a batter, but one through it, it is very, 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 very tough.
So how do you think... How do you think the Astros will, what do you think they're going to do when they go to Atlanta? You know, they're going to have to, it's going to affect the game quite a bit with the pitchers having to hit. So who do they sit down? I mean, Alvarez definitely has to play left field, right? So how do you move the rest of the outfield around? Tucker in center?
Yeah, you might play Tucker in center, or you might not have you know, you might not have Brantley, where you would play McCormick. And it depends, you know, if it's right-handed batter, left-handed batter, even though Brantley does hit good, does hit very well against left-handed pitching. That is I think it also depends on if the Astros are up 2-0, if it's 0-2, 1-1, it depends.
That's right.
And it also depends on who they're facing. Is he a lefty? Is he a righty? Everything just depends, and you're not going to say before the series starts, okay, we're going to sit Brantley, we're going to have Tucker play center. I mean, okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, like you're saying, whatever happens in the games really dictates what happens later on. And they were talking about that in the last game, that each manager is going to manage this game differently. Because one manager has no more losses to take, and one manager does, so they're gonna manage differently. But one cool thing I saw about this series is the Braves manager, Brian Snitker, is the father of Astros hitting coach Troy Snitker.
Isn't it? I always say that baseball is a small world, and certainly it sure is. Absolutely. And, you know, Brian Snitker, he's a baseball guy. I don't know if you know his story, but he toiled for years and years in the Braves system. And he was let go a couple of times, but he kept finding his way back to the Braves system. And, you know, I read the story about him. When he first started, before he got married, he told his wife, "Are you sure you want a life in baseball? Because it's not easy. And you're going to be moving from city to city, from minor league town to minor league town, and she stuck it through. And here he is. It's a good story. Both stories are really good from the managerial front. In fact, this is the oldest combined age for managers in a World Series in the World Series history.
So the big guys, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, the top three guys, they've been struggling, but, you know, Dusty Baker leaves them in the top three of the order. Do you see them turning things around? I mean, we've got this far without them even playing very well. So if they turn it around, Alvarez has been amazing. Yuli's been good. I think we're in good shape. Who do you think wins the series?
Astros. Astros in six. They are the better ball club. They should have won in 2019.
I agree. Harold, I appreciate you coming on, and congratulations on the job with the Sugar Land Skeeters.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure of calling the games, bringing baseball to everybody's home that tuned in, and I'm looking forward to year number two with the AAA franchise of the Houston Astros.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to Astros Baseball. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Astros Baseball. Be sure to subscribe to be alerted when there's a new episode. Follow Rob on Twitter @RobFontenot.